Welcome to Deep Dive Genre. Diana Amft had a breakthrough with one of her first film roles and has never looked back. The actress excelled in comedies such as Girls on Top, the much lauded and award-winning Doctor's Diary, or Kreumann. And shines equally in dramatic roles such as the series Days That Never Were. Diana has established herself as a best-selling children's book author for the Kleine Spinne Widerlich. For this episode, we talked to her about the musical Im Weißen Rössel, Wehe du singst, a German comedy film from 2013, and a modern adaptation of the operetta of the same name. We talked to Diana via video call for this interview. Hi, Diana.
Hi.
Thank you so much for joining us today.
Well, thanks for having me.
We'll be talking about your work in the film Im Weißen Rössel, Wehe du singst, but of course also about your work and creative process in general. I'd like to start off this podcast with a review quote from Sabine Vogel in the Frankfurter Rundschau, which I think sums up the film quite nicely. And she said, similar to the usually very emotional and visually overloaded Bollywood films, here, orgiastic mass choreographies of dirndl ballerinas with pink feather dusters and checkered waiters are arranged into ornaments of the most glorious nonsense. This is the weirdest fusion of ironic Heimat film, surrealist folklore, and schmaltzy happy endings that German cinema can produce. And I would like to add, in the most glorious way possible. Given that we're talking about the Heimat film genre, Im Weißen Rössel is, of course, a modern interpretation of the operetta of the same name, but very unlike the Schlager film from the 1960s. You're a great comedic actress. One could even say a comedy queen. An interesting fact, when you received the award for Best Actress in a Comedy Series at the Monte Carlo TV Festival, fellow nominees were Tina Fey and Steve Carell. And, of course, you've played other genres and played them very well, such as the terrific series Days That Never Were. Any news on season two?
Oh, we're actually nominated for the Jupiter Award. That's really new in the category of best series, national. That's in the Jahrescharts.
Yes.
Dreaming, I think that they reached number two in the, after Babylon Berlin.
Nice. Which
really, really proud. And so I would say, how do you say this? The stars are aligning in a good way. And I can just say, like, everybody who was involved would love to continue with the second season. Definitely. So we are, it's really like a project from where we all put a lot of heart in it and a lot of passion and.
Fingers crossed.
Yes.
As I mentioned, you are one of these very rare comedy talents with terrific timing. So, I mean, of course, it makes sense that the producers of Im Weißen Rössel wanted you for their film. But I would be interested in what made you decide to take on the role of Ottilie.
I was, fire and flame. No, you don't say this in English, right? I mean, just like, when I read the script and it was, it came across so special. And then the fact that that was including dancing and singing made it so interesting for me. And then when I went to meet the director, Christian Tede, I asked him of what's his vision, because I thought this is a movie, this could be like either totally like this or totally like that. You could really make totally different movies out of it. And then when I found out the version he had in his head, when the way he wanted to realize this movie, I was really just burning to play Ottilie. And also the fact that we had like weeks of rehearsals for dancing and singing. It was just so much fun. And shooting that movie was actually like being in a movie as well, because it was part of it seemed to be so unreal, because the area was so nice and beautiful. And we had a huge crew of dancers and we're like, and we had the best weather you can imagine. And then I don't know. And as soon as the scene was like wrapped for the day, everybody was just jumping into the water and having fun. It was just really like a Heimat film by itself. It was, it was a great time.
And I'm putting the next two questions together. Before you started shooting, did you see the original film? And if you did, I was wondering if that in any way informed your approach of playing the character.
Yeah, this is a really interesting question, because that was the reason why it was more of a conscious decision to not watch the movies. And for sure, I knew the original, but it was years ago that I saw bits and pieces. No, I made a decision not to watch it before shooting. It's a different version of it. And I wanted to get close to the Ottilia the way I read her. And I mean, for sure, it's like everybody has like a personal way to approach a character. And I think it's always difficult if someone else already had this character before.
Yeah, fresh slate.
Yes, I think it would be different for sure if I would play a person of real life where then I would try to get confronted as much as I can to get the character like as close as possible. But that way, no, I decided not to watch the movie.
And were you involved at all in fleshing out the character, or did she come to you already fully formed?
The script by itself was actually already totally, totally perfect the way it was. Mm-hmm. But we spent a lot of time like sitting together, talking about the character and rehearsing scenes and trying out what happens if we do it slightly different, and decided for the best way it was working all together. It was a working process where we were like acting together as a team to find out the real relationship, or the love which is between Ottilia's father and her. And it was really great to get together.
Mm-hmm. How much time did you, because you mentioned rehearsal time, how much time did you actually have?
It was really like a huge gift that we were allowed to rehearse. We had a really great choreographer who took a lot of time with us rehearsing all those dancing scenes. And it was really great. I think it was at least 6 weeks.
Wow. Yeah. That a real gift. Yeah.
With each meeting, we got closer, got to know each other more and more, and enjoyed it as well, because it was always a fun time, and you learned something else on top of it, which is totally a gift as well. And and you were like, you could see what it does with you, with the whole Haltung.
Yeah.
I think while shooting the movie, I was like 2 centimeters higher than I usually are, because you're just always, you had to think of like, okay, shoulders back and head up. And it was great. It was really, really great.
Mm-hmm. Obviously, the old Heimat from the 1950s portrayed a lot of, conservative relationships and generals. And what's interesting and great in this modern version is there's some new traps couples have to deal with, but obviously some old traps are gone. What's your take on that? How did you feel when you portrayed that?
The part of Ottilia was quite good, because she comes out of a modern world and but still deep inside beliefs and romantic. And then she comes into this world of where the Weiße Rössel is actually taken part of. And it seems like everybody is like in the 50s or whatever, and it's like and it's again, and she gets confronted with this kind of world but has to find out about herself mm-hmm. deep inside, that she's also actually loving this kind of sitting together at the sea when the moon shines on the water and all the stuff. And and it was interesting, because in the time where she's living in the modern world, it seems to be not allowed anymore. Like a woman has to be strong. And her boyfriend left her because he thinks it's not modern anymore to marry each other and all the stuff. And it was interesting, because she's actually the character who's confronted with both sides. And I could see very positive effects on each side, so every side of it.
And now, of course, the singing, the music. It's a Schlager film after all. Was that a pro or a con in your decision to do the film?
Oh, I already answered. Yeah, I love Schlager.
You've brought out an album of children's music, so you clearly can sing and you love music.
Yes, I do. I really do. I really do. And this is like one of the really rare positive results which came out of this Corona time, that I continued wanting to do something, and with really successful music producers who could also not do their tours because of the Corona times. And then we produced this children's album together. And it was really like a little bit a dream come true. Yeah, because as you mentioned, I love singing and I really don't know if I really can live or whatever. I mean, with the Rössel, we also had the chance to re-record everything in the studio again. Mm-hmm. But if they want to bring it on stage, I would also at least try to play the Ottilie live.
Well, that's an interesting idea. You know, a staged version. Nice.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah.
It's like maybe with the exact same cast we were in the Weiße Rössel.
Yeah. And well, you mentioned, because I was going to ask about singing or the rehearsal process, but we have already covered that. There's a couple of really big scenes with, you know, dancing and singing. And I was wondering specifically about that big duet scene that you have. How was that shooting it? I mean, I imagine that would take like maybe a couple of days with all the setups and everything.
Oh, it definitely took a whole day by the choreography. Oh God, outside. And I think, yeah, that it's intercut with, I think a few parts in a van. Mm-hmm. Might have been on another day, but the actual dancing scene and singing scene, we took the whole day for it. Because of several different setups and for sure, like part of it's like rehearsing, then making camera tests, and then shooting. But it was again another day full of fun and passion. And as we can see, the weather was great again. It was really, really cool. But yeah, sure, we were quite nervous before shooting that scene because it was like everything had to fit together so perfectly. Mm-hmm. And the dancers and everybody were so professional. It was just that it worked out very, very good.
Do you have a favorite memory of shooting the film or a favorite scene maybe?
This was one of my favorite scenes, definitely, the one we talked about. And yeah, the memory was just that it seems like a huge Klassenfahrt.
Yeah, school trip.
Yes, with friends and family. Mm-hmm. Like, okay, this sounds so sleazy. Yeah, well, just a perfect match to the Heimat film. Ah, slightly sleazy. No, but that we had just really like, there's so much fun behind the scenes as well. And it was a kind of traveling production. So we were all together for like, I don't know, 6 weeks or 7 weeks or 8 weeks.
Yeah.
Yeah, so also the weekends we spent together. Mm-hmm. I have to admit, when we were leaving, we shoot in St. Gilgen.
Yeah.
It's really beautiful there. When we were leaving that day, the weather wasn't so nice. I think it was even raining on the way to the airport.
Yeah.
And I really had like a tear in my eyes because it was like, you felt like you were so in this world for a few weeks and in this kind of really happy world where everything was perfect. Mm-hmm. And it was so, yeah, it was really sad to leave it, to leave the set. And it's a very, very special movie, which will always have a place in my heart, definitely.
In the intro to this podcast episode, I summarize the movie as a obviously modern variation of the classic operette, which, you know, if one puts it very simply, is about the power of love. What is the film about for you personally?
It's about love and feelings and emotions and what really counts in life. Mm-hmm. That some problems seem to be so nonsense if you have people around you who you love and who loves you.
Now we're doing a little bit of a pivot to the Heimat film. Let's say it's not the most loved genre, and sometimes it's even a little bit undervalued. But a lot of people grew up watching these films because often there were no alternatives, let's be honest. But also there is something to enjoy about them. And I was hoping maybe if you could tell us if you have a personal or emotional connection to the genre at all.
Yes, I do. But this really results out of the reason what you said, that we had not so much opportunities in that time.
We had three programs.
Yes, we had three programs. And it was like, especially on Sundays, I connect with those movies at Sunday afternoons. And so the family was together and maybe there was like, I don't know, like a little bit of cookies and cakes.
Yeah.
And we all watched Heimatfilm.
Yeah.
Mostly with the same actors. No, people our age probably know exactly that, yeah. Those kind of movies which were running that time.
There's a certain number of films that came certain dates, certain holidays, Christmas, exactly. Easter, and after a number of years, you'd seen them all and you'd seen them several times.
Yes, and then I seem to remember there was a time where, but this was, I think, at the weekend in the evenings, there was a phase where a lot of Elvis movies were running.
Yeah, that as well. Yeah.
Yeah, that was a special time. There was no streaming. And yeah, as far as I know, there was not even internet.
No.
I don't know.
No. I remember, I don't know if you remember that, but there was at some point, I think it was like in the early 80s, there was this sort of like a Friday movie thing. Like they gave you three choices and you had to phone.
Yes,
in.
You could choose.
Yeah.
Yes, you could phone them. Yes. I always thought it was so, so exciting. It's gonna be.
But only, of course, if the movie that you wanted won.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. That's why it was so exciting. I think I seem to remember that I wasn't allowed to call up there because
I think I was allowed to call, I think, at one time.
Okay, then you counted to the cool ones. The cool ones were allowed.
Only one time, and that was it.
But I was always allowed to watch it.
Yeah. Obviously, the Das Weiße Rössel is a modern version, but I'm always on the fence, you know, if a genre like Heimatfilm still has a place in today's German film industry. What's your take on that? I mean, like Hans Steinbichler, obviously, has his way of doing these, and I think that's terrific, but it's quite rare, you know, unless you go Edgar Reitz's way of doing that arthouse drama, which is also great.
Me personally, I wouldn't mind if there would be more of this kind of movies, because I like it to get taken away a little bit for 1.5 hours and escape in a world where you have like a kind of happiness and get taken away out of the Alltag situation and escape a little bit. So me personally, I like it, but it has for sure the script has to be good as well.
Yeah.
In those days, it's not enough anymore if a couple goes hand in hand and singing the whole movie. So should be a little bit more to identify with. Something like the Weiße Rössel should be tested more often or like risked more often because I don't know. This is like the Vorurteil, I guess.
Prejudice.
People have. Yes, about this genre, which I think, if you realize it in a good way, then it can be really great.
I agree.
Yeah.
And is there a sub-variety of the genre that you would be interested in to see more of? Obviously musical, but there's also the faster filme or maybe even a Western version.
No, me personally, I really prefer the romantic versions of maybe like friendships as well.
Mm-hmm.
Faster genre, well.
Well, maybe not.
Because no, maybe, let me think about, no. But you can also, I think you can show a lot of nature as well without having the first running, singing through the woods. But for sure, I mean, it's just my personal taste. So.
I have a few questions about you and your work now. You've been an actress since you were quite young. I mean, you started when you were barely out of acting school. What for you are the biggest changes you've noticed in your work as an actress over the years? Maybe from the industry side, but also maybe from your side, how you approach certain things.
Wow. Okay. This is a huge process because.
A long question.
Yeah. Because it's like, I don't really even know where to start because as you said, I was quite young. It was just the beginning of 20s when I started. I mean, I would say now, from my point of view, that the whole business was totally different at that time when I was shooting a movie, because it's like when I decided to take a part on a script, I had to think of like, okay, let me collect this. What about this scene? Okay, there might be someone who gets this VHS cassette tape in the video library and maybe has to rewind it all the time to see the scene again and again. There was not even to think of it, that it will stay one day and will be available for everybody in the internet and stuff. Yeah. It was like, so this is like one huge thing where I feel like, okay, you would have probably made this the one or the other decision in a different way if you knew that before. And then again, for sure, if you're really young in the film business and very, I mean, I had no idea about nothing, then you are pretty naive. Mm-hmm. For sure, you realize, like, after years and years, not everybody who's really nice to you is immediately your best friend.
Yeah.
And stuff. And I seem to remember, okay, this was not with film, but was I was once casted as a member of a girl group. Mm-hmm. It did not work out in the end. I don't know if I should be happy about it or not, but it was to that point. But it was to that point that we already recorded a song in a studio, and it was casted like a little bit like a cliche. There was the dark haired one, the red haired one, and the blonde one. So I was the blonde one, and I seem to remember my two colleagues. They were like 1 or 2 years older than I was, and we were on the way to. And they were quite tough, and we were on the way to the studio. And I said like some sentence, I don't know, and they said like, "Boy, you're so naive. You probably still believe in the prince who's coming across on a white horse one day, right?" And I was like, "Well, why not?" I thought the idea is so nice.
Yeah.
And this is actually, I guess, how I started out in the business. Mm-hmm. Like really very, but very open and very,
yeah.
And I had a lot of fun. It was fun. With me, it was like every few years, you come to a point of change. I mean, I seem to remember pretty clearly how I started to reject teenager movies.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, okay, no, that's it. Now I had like really nice offers, and for sure you ask yourself in the end, was it the right decision or not? And with every decision you make, it could lead you to a totally different point of where you are. I mean, I'd say like if a Daniel Brühl wouldn't have taken the part in Goodbye Lenin, or if Franka Potente not in Run Lola Run, this is like with the movies, it takes you also somewhere. Mm-hmm. And so therefore it's like sometimes really difficult, always the question, yeah, where does it take you? And, and did you do the right decision? So I was like, I have the really huge privilege that I could really just take on parts which I really wanted to play as well.
Mm-hmm.
For sure, there were a lot of light movies in between as well, but it was okay. I love to work with nice people and have a great time. And then there was for sure this illusion, which was killed pretty fast with, the genre comedy, because I was prima in comedy movies. Yeah, that was also the reason why I went to America for 2 years, because I had the feeling that they were like, yeah, appreciating comedy in a different way than it was appreciated in Germany. In Germany was when I had a successful comedy movie and an interview to it, there was always the question, like, could you imagine to play in a drama as well? Where I felt like I did not even know what to answer on that, to be honest.
Well, I mean, it's a bit condescending. You know, to you as an actress, you're an actress. Why shouldn't you be able to play whatever you want?
Yeah. And comedy is really a difficult genre. You have to be, it's like about timing, and it's really like about milliseconds. And if you can hit that point, why shouldn't you be able that your voice is breaking away when you have like a dramatic situation to act? So for sure you get from year to year, you get better. I mean, you get older as well, but you have also more experience. Because for me, it's always important that I play a part authentic.
Mm-hmm.
And so sometimes then I realized, okay, there are certain words, they're difficult for me to act, like wow, for example, then I rather play them instead of saying wow. And I don't know, it's a dumb example, but it's like, so, as you can see, I don't even know where to start and where to end.
Well, how about, is there a particular role or story that you would like to play or to tackle?
Yeah, for some reason, I always thought to myself, like, I would love to surprise those people who ask me those questions. If I could also imagine play that, for sure, there would be a personal challenge, which I would love to be able to show one day. But therefore, you have to have the perfect script as well and the perfect part where you are able to show it. Because it's not with every script, you can show your whole range. I mean, therefore, I have to really like mentioned, very, very positive Doctor's Diary, for example, that if this series was so incredibly good written as well, and for sure there was a good cast. Sorry, I don't want to come across arrogant because I was part of it, but now there were so many great people like Flora David Fitz and everybody. But we were able, this is like really what I totally loved about that project, where I said, like, okay, not comedy is as comedy, it has to be like also really, really great construct behind it. So.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And finally, the last question already. Can you tell us what you're currently working on?
Yes, I am. I won't be able to call you the project so yet because it has to be a Kammer-Drehstadt-Meldung first. Mm-hmm. But I'm about to shoot a Christmas movie now, where we are going. Like,
nice.
It's going to be shooting in Austria again with a lot of snow, and I'm really looking forward to. Yes, and then I might come up this year another really, really great project where I'm seriously not allowed to talk about it yet, but I would promise you that you would be the first one I would call as soon as it's official. I'm working as a children's book author. There were I gonna release two new books this year as well.
Nice.
In this Reihe, die kleine Spinne widerlich.
Yeah. Oh, that's great. Well, you sound like you're very, very busy.
I'm very lucky, let's say it like that. I'm really lucky that I'm allowed to work on those great projects. Toi, toi, toi. It's like every year is different for sure. Yeah. No, it's like they're like, everybody, every actor knows that there are always like few months in between where you don't know yet what's coming next. Yeah. And, but it's also like a process. Oh, now that's coming back to your last question, like which you learn over the years to really like, handle those phases, because I seem to remember when I was finished acting school in my first movie, I was like, oh my God, every day which is now ahead of you is like a day free, a day off, a day without work, because you don't, and this is like something you really have to learn. It's a long, long process. Acting in movies, it's like you have to deal with the life around it as well, because it's not always easy.
Well, there's a lot of waiting in between projects and on set, I would imagine as well, sometimes depending on.
As me personally, I'm writing in between, but it's like, so I would always say like, look that you can fill your time in between with something which is like, makes you like independent. Sorry. which makes you independent from just the profession of being an actor. So, then you feel way more free and you are lighter kind of.
Mm. And thank you so much for sitting down with us today, Diana. It was such a pleasure.
Hey, thank you so much. It was so nice to talk to you. And compliments to your podcast. And
thank you.
I wish you continuously success with it.
Thank you. Deep Dive Genre is produced by German Films, the National Information and Advisory Center for the Promotion of German Films Worldwide. To find out more about our guests, check out the links in our show notes. To stay up to date with our episodes, subscribe wherever you find your podcasts.